We were in the drive-thru. I had to do some driving errands, and I was like, okay, I'll take her with me. And as a reward for being good or whatever, I was like, okay, we'll go split a Frosty together. So we're in the line, and she looks at me, and she says, Dad, what is that sandwich? And it's a huge poster of a blown-up Baconator. And I'm like, well, that's just like, you know, a really big hamburger with a lot of bacon on it. And she says, who is that for? It's too big. It's got too much bacon and too much meat.
It's true.
And so she fixated on it while we're in the car, but we get home. Then she wants to tell her mom about it. And she at one point, she conspiratorially whispers to me, you would take a huge poop after eating that.
That's also true.
And she looks around the table. She says, wait, Dad, you're big. It's not for you. I am small. It's not for me. Mom is medium. It's not for her. It's not for anyone.
And then, and the three Baconators.
What about Shaq? What about Shaq?
I don't know if she knows who Shaq is.
Okay.
Then
how to talk to your child about Shaq.
She gets woken up at 3:30 in the morning because, like, our smoke alarm, the battery went out because it always goes off at 3:30 in the morning because that's how these things work. We calm her down. She's just like, Mom, I need to talk to you about this huge burger. Just like, won't shut up. And she stayed up for an extra hour fixated on the Baconator and the terrors of it.
$8,000, $8,000 of fireworks, $10,000, $10,000 of fireworks, and a legal retainer.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, and I have a question for you, perpetual guest Ryan Nanny. If your daughter was focused on the Baconator, you were asking who the Baconator is for.
Yeah.
What would be a bad thing to do after eating a Baconator? Like, what would be any activity that
swim
bad?
Taekwondo is a good one. swim to taekwondo would be up there.
Fight with a bow staff.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, volleyball.
Go to a church where you're not, where it's like not cool to leave in the middle of service to go to the bathroom.
Like a no farts church.
Yeah, a no farts church. Yeah,
one of them not.
The Vatican, I assume, is a no farts church.
No, it's a That's Pope farts
what...
church.
Oh right.
That's actually what Missouri Synod means.
That's why them ceilings are high in the Vatican. Gotta let that up. Gotta let it out.
Honestly, I wouldn't get on a plane right after eating a Baconator.
Because it wouldn't take off?
Yes, that's right.
The pilot's all like, right. I'm giving it everything I got.
All right,
someone eat a Baconator.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to need somebody on the left side of the plane to also eat a Baconator.
We got a winged dragon.
Do we have a doctor in the house? Okay, good, good. Can you watch this man and make sure he doesn't die eating this?
Do we have a Dr. Pepper in the house?
Those are all great answers. Can I give you an equal challenge here?
Please.
What if I told you this thing? What if I substituted Panda Express?
Who?
Yeah, what if...
That's a low floor, high ceiling risk spectrum there, because you know you could grab yourself some steamed rice, some green beans. I don't think that's what happened.
No,
but yeah, when was the last time anybody did that at Panda Express ever? Like somebody might have done that. I don't think that's what NASCAR driver Chase Briscoe did, because Chase Briscoe, if you don't know, yesterday was the Daytona 500. Woo! I'm obligated to do that by creed. And by Gene, I have to do that. And here's what happens in the Daytona 500 sometimes. It's in Florida. Sometimes it rains. Sometimes there are long rain delays. Sometimes 6, sometimes 7 hours, like yesterday. So when that happens, the drivers are kind of at ends as to what to do. Chase Briscoe decided that a good thing to do would be to go to Panda Express.
During the race.
During the rain delay. Yeah, because the rain delay happened, and he decided, well, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to drive to Panda Express and
load up. Did he drive in his NASCAR?
He did not, which I know why he didn't, because you got to take that net down every time. That's just a pain in the butt.
You can tell that he's got a capacious truck, though, because you can see one of those handles on the inside, like next to the steering wheel, where you got to like fling yourself into the seat.
Yeah, this man is not going in here in like a Duke Ranch. This is a full King Ranch. Okay, whatever he's driving. And Chase Briscoe went and got Panda Express. Now, in case the timing wasn't bad enough, like I know you might eat the Panda Express and feel okay, right? Might feel shelf stable, so to speak, for a good couple of hours afterwards.
Real shelf stable, or like Bon Appetit says it's shelf stable.
The latter.
Okay.
Not the former. Oh. But then there was another 6 hours of delays before he had to get back in the car meeting. I think our man Chase Briscoe was probably mission critical by the time he got back in his fire suit and got back in the race. And also, he crashed out. So in case you wonder whether all of that Panda Express under pressure in his digestive system was placed under significant pressure during the race, yeah, it was, because he crashed. So good luck, Chase Briscoe. What I'm saying is that you're the most daring man in the world for filling your gullet full of Panda Express and then getting into the confines of a race car for the better part of another 2 hours, including a high-speed crash.
I believe this was either his first or second Cup Series race as well.
Oh, does like, not care whether he lives or dies.
Like, yeah. Like this is to me, you say this, and to me, I'm like, this is a move of somebody who's got, I don't know, like 70 races under their belt. And granted, he's raced, you know, other levels before or whatever. But man, what a decision this is.
No, the thing he has under his belt is Panda Express.
That's true.
This is a man who really knows his tum-tum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how I know, by the way, Chase Briscoe is also under 30, right?
Yeah.
Then he's like, yeah, man, just go ahead. Let's just slap some Panda Express.
He could probably eat the containers it came in at that point and be fine.
Yeah.
Spencer, this makes me think we should have teen NASCAR. Just like, just like, I'm running low on Mountain Dew.
I need
a full tank.
Fuel.
I need a full tank.
Could you do a midair refueling like in the old Nintendo Top Gun video game, but with like Baja Blast?
Yeah, more Baja Blast.
Absolutely. Spencer, where do you think Chase Briscoe is from?
Chase Briscoe is from, I'm going to guess, North Carolina.
Indiana. Indiana.
Oh, listen, who's better equipped to know about chain restaurants of Volusia County?
That's a good point.
Large stretches of Florida, remember, are just soggy Indiana.
Volusia also County is one of those, I can verify.
Yeah. But yeah, if he's like, if we can have teen NASCAR, oh man.
Man, I thought you said teen NASCAR. I'm like, that's just teens.
That is what I said. Teen NASCAR, yeah.
Yeah, teen NASCAR. NASCAR for teens. Yeah.
That's like the teen NASCAR developmental circuit where we
Mom, I'm going to youth group.
Why'd you crash? Well, I had 8 cans of Monster on the floor and one of them just like flew up. Blinded me for a second. I went into the back of him. I saw his vape rig go out the side. Just that. Just a bad idea NASCAR. That's really what we're coding, right, Jason? It's not T NASCAR. That's... It's bad idea NASCAR.
Worse idea NASCAR. Worse idea. NASCAR's already a horrible idea. It's a horrible idea.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page.
When you tune in to the Super Bowl of NASCAR and everyone just says, I wonder when the accident that we know is going to happen that has a pre-nickname, I wonder when that's going to be. The sport is a bad idea. I am so excited to see the disaster. When will it happen? Because it is going to.
I'm happy to report that Panda Express, the expansion of it nationwide really, is largely due, or at least a good part of it is due, to former UCLA head football coach Terry Donahue.
No way.
Yep. He was.
I don't think I've ever lived anywhere near a Panda Express.
So the business started as a single location called Panda Inn in Pasadena, and Terry Donahue and his brother Dan Donahue, like, were friends with the owners, and the brother was like, "Hey, I own the Glendale Galleria. Why don't you, like, figure out a food court version of your restaurant?" And that is how Panda Express started.
That is probably the most significant contribution to football UCLA has made over the last 30 years.
Sure.
Because think of how many linemen have been built in part or in whole out of Panda Express.
Yeah. I've also learned that
high school linemen forged at the Panda Express.
I've also learned that Terry Donahue turned down the Cowboys job at one point. He did not turn it down to do any other job. He had been out of football for 3 years at that point.
That's great.
Yep.
He just said, "Nah."
Yeah, that is correct.
That's a lot to. I'd rather just sit on my Panda Express riches. Which I too would, because I'd have to reckon with, you know, like, Panda Express, what if we wrought? We've wrought a lot of, it's been a lot of good, it's a lot of bad. Panda Express is behind a lot of,
just like NASCAR.
Yeah, just like NASCAR.
I've given it a lot of thought, and it's possible I've never actually been to Panda Express. Never been inside.
Have you been to one at a mall before?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I know this is all very interesting.
I have one, which as soon as the pandemic is concluded, I will visit, and I will regard it as a pilgrimage, and that will be the Panda Express on the Vegas Strip. That is...
Hell yes.
Yeah. Yeah, brother. Because you know what? Do you know what's been there for me? Good or bad at 3 a.m? Do you know what has been there consistently mediocre, hot, and ready whenever I needed it in Las Vegas? We know what has brought me amazing luck and also bad luck, but I discount that for the purposes of this discussion. Yes. The Panda Express on the Strip in Las Vegas.
And I think what we're hearing is that this Panda Express comes sort of pre-necessitated. Like, this Panda Express will be the fulfillment of the thing that demands the Panda Express. Like, yeah, it's only this great if you put yourself in a particular state, right?
One would have to require the Panda Express.
Yeah.
It seems inessential in a normal resting state. However, in a heightened sense of awareness, one finds the Panda Express to be particularly palliative.
Yeah. It's very quantum. It's only if you're observing it in a particular state, it's excellent.
I really hope that there isn't actually a Panda Express on the Strip. It's something only I see and experience when I go to Vegas. It's like Brigadoon, but with scorched egg rolls.
Like, this is your Harry Potter's, like, magic train track.
Yeah, whatever. This is my station. This is my station.
Track 10 and a half or whatever.
69 and a quarter. Yeah.
Hog farts.
Yeah. when I go to school at Hog Farts in Vegas and major in roulette, and I've had a really long night, I go to platform 69 and a quarter.
Wow.
And I then go to the Panda Express that only I can see.
Wow, yeah. Professor Carrot Top is here. Amazing.
Professor Rita Skimble, Reba Skimbleshanks. No.
Skimbleshanks. You did this.
Yeah, that's defense, that's where I'm going.
Defense Against the Dark Arts will be taught by Chris Angel this year.
Defense Against the Dark Arts in here.
How did you miss the Defense Against the Dark Farts right there?
That is what happens at Panda Express.
No, that is, if anything, that's playing too playing too loosely with the dark farts. If you're eating at Panda Express,
Lucius Dark Farts.
Yeah, that's I'm so glad that we got to experience this all together. That's what this podcast does.
Yep.
This is a stretch of us and together.
Whew. So a couple of things actually have happened that we probably need to discuss. That would be one. Guess who made more money? I didn't think it was possible for this man to make more money. Because there's two people who I'm like, If you had seen them in high school and you'd said, these men are going to pull down so much money, you would have been laughed out of the room. One is Will Muschamp, who I think we can all safely say that in high school, nobody would accuse of being the most successful person. Nobody would have looked at that man and gone, yeah, I see checks just poured out of that man.
I don't know. He's from Valdosta, right?
Oh, no. He's from he's from like around Bainbridge, I think.
I thought that was Kirby.
Yeah, no, I think they're from like basically the same part, but I will verify.
Well, I just think they look at Will Muschamp's shape and they think, oh man, that man is he's gonna use that shape. He's got the shape of success. Look at that neck.
Look at that body of a Russian nesting doll. There's just multiple fortunes nested inside him.
Oh, look at the skull on that fella. He's gonna be a winner.
All the coaches singing to each other. Man, look at that body. A workout.
He's from. Oh no, he grew up in Gainesville, Florida, remember, for a while. But then I believe he went to where did he go to high school?
He went to high school in Gainesville too.
Also at Panda Express.
Rome, Georgia. He's so Floyd.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Floyd County. So he's from Rome.
Yeah. I mean I would imagine he was not the dumbest person at his high school.
Yeah. So maybe most successful, but yeah, here's the other one. Gus Malzahn. Because today, Gus Malzahn just made another $11 million because he became the head coach at UCF.
Can we talk about this on the next episode? Because I've decided in honor of the holiday that I'm not going to get mad about UCF getting a better coach than Tennessee out of this until like tomorrow.
Oh, sure. Cool. We can postpone that. Cool.
Or I'll just play Nintendo and y'all can talk amongst yourselves.
We can push it a little bit. I just want to say, in addition to the 20 plus million that he's getting from Auburn, guaranteed.
Oh, we're going to keep talking about this. All right. I'm mad now.
He's getting 11 mil.
I'm fucking believing.
She asked so nicely.
Is about an NCAA dynasty in which UCF hires Gus Malzahn and Tennessee has continued to employ someone who's very cool and smart. So just hypothetically, UCF is its own like self-contained thing that employs Gus Malzahn.
Mm. That does help. Hypothetical.
Wow.
Now there's another guy with a successful shape.
Man, there's so many.
Okay, now I feel better.
Look at him.
I do.
He does. He just everybody, you know, you see him behind the curtain like Hitchcock, and all the Tennessee boosters are like, "Ah, you are like us."
Hitchcock just walks up and they're like, "The pain." Cobblepot. The penguin's here.
There are 18 Pandas Express in Orlando.
Pandas Express.
Fuck me.
Well,
Panda Express.
One panda running all that, did you?
That's fair. I mean, and granted, like, Google Maps is kind of...
notoriously lazy animals.
Google Maps is kind of stretching what Orlando is, but if you just put in Panda Express Orlando, you will get 18 results, and then below it, it will say, looking for something different? Like, no, Google, I was pretty
absolutely
fucking clear.
Not.
This is what I want. 18, my God.
That's
so we're gonna compare them all next season, right?
Some of them are like really close to each other too. That's the part that worries me. Like,
oh, do they do that subway thing where like they
you could just open one wherever?
Yeah, we're like Subway was famous for this a while back because they make all of their money off like selling the licenses.
Yeah.
Of the franchises, so they'll open one. There's nothing to stop them from opening one.
So they don't care.
From one that already exists. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, they might.
So will Gus make the Panda Express his thing? No longer the Waffle House? Is Panda Express the Waffle House of Orlando?
He's gonna hurt so badly if he does that.
Well, you can find me in the back corner at a Panda Express.
I'll just be housing some orange chicken.
Then you can find me in the bathroom. I will be there for a while.
Let's take these thighs from golden to ochre.
I'll be hurrying up and I'll be huddling. It'll be weird.
I'll tell you, nothing tops off a day of defeating Tulsa by 23 points, but Mongolian beef.
We ran through them like that Mongolian beef.
Genghis Khan would have been proud.
Now there's a guy who can move pretty fast. they huddled while they were hurrying up. It was incredible.
He called the plays too. You'll note.
You'll note he called a lot of plays. Might have been a thing to emulate.
Speaking of hoarding treasures, Gus Malzahn's bank account. How's he going to spend any of that, by the way? Because I know, one, Orlando is a fine place for Gus Malzahn because it's not like, oh, man, what are you going to do in Orlando? Man, well, Gus wasn't doing anything anyway.
Buy an Arabian Nights. Man, he's just covering the entire Asian continent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is Arabian Nights still a thing?
I think so. It was for a while, at least.
Yeah, you could do that. He's not doing a thing, though. Like, he's, like, that dude with all of his money, like, I will put a dollar amount on it. That guy probably spends $200,000 to $300,000 a year. That's it for everything.
Everything. Like, when he buys a new house? Like, a year in which he buys a new house?
If that. Like, I don't know why they're paying him. Like, that's nobody asked. Gus didn't ask you. His agent did.
He might not get direct deposit for the first 3 weeks. Oh, that's fine.
That's fine. We'll just buy some canned peas. we'll be cool. Like, I mean it. Like,
I got my sister's HBO Max login. We'll be fine.
That's okay. We'll just split a plate at Panda Express.
That's it. They've got a family combo. I find it to be a good deal.
Gus, I'm gonna try and say what I mean here, and it's probably gonna take me a minute. Gus has a voice that sounds as though his accent should be about 900 times thicker than it actually is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for having the speech patterns that he does, I feel like he should have Ward Burton's accent, you know, or like a Mark Martin.
He should have the kind of accent where,
you know, that accent where it sounds like you have an entire Jimmy Dean sausage wedged in your
lip.
Yes,
where it sounds like you are making taffy with your body.
Yes, but he doesn't. He speaks something very much closer to like middle American TV English when you hear the tone and the timbre of his voice. It sounds like he should be like, well, golly!
Like, Coen Brothers movie side character, yeah. Right?
He's TV news anchor chopped and screwed.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very much so. But he, like, he might have 20 mil in the bank. And, I mean, at the end of the year, he's going to have 20 mil. I don't know if he'll spend the interest. And that's not saying he's super cheap. I'm just telling you, he's from like Hill Jack, Arkansas. And once he buys a boat, that's it. What, you know, Christie's not going to spend that much money. They once traded, like, that's my favorite Gus Malzahn fact, is he once traded a fax machine for a car. Like, that was, they had a car and they needed a fax machine. So.
Wait, the literal Carfax?
Wow.
That's nuts, man.
I invented Carfax. Give me more money. Gus Malzahn makes another $50 million for coming up with the concept. Yeah. Why are you paying him? If he didn't have an agent, he would have done the job for like 70 grand.
To be fair, Gus Malzahn not wanting to spread money around is kind of why he's no longer at Auburn, too.
Yeah.
So.
Why are you going to spend money for a player? We can probably get him for some Zaxby's gifts.
We have offensive line at home.
Yes.
I also feel like if you're UCF, why are you spending money? It's well, because we're a Power 6 program. That's why. Yeah. We pay our coach a big contract. Because we're basically an SEC school. That's why.
Oh my God! Is this the new Utah's in a power conference?
UCF is not. Yeah. We're UCF. We're almost in kind of a power conference.
Wasn't TNA wrestling based out of Orlando?
Sounds right.
Sure sounds accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is late stage Ric Flair. I had a big house on the big side of town. My shoes did at one point cost more than your house. I'll get more money in a minute. Yeah. I think they'll be fine just because I think like UCF's a good place for anybody. George O'Leary was successful there. And that makes me think. That,
he was
like,
also very not successful there.
It broke down to mediocre there mm-hmm. on the field.
Listen, he won like he had multiple, I believe, double digit win seasons, which to me says, yeah, anybody can be good there. Just because you got talent, you got a lot of people throwing money at the program, and you have a pretty manageable spread of teams to beat. You'll be fine.
And some other things happened.
But if that dude, who I heard say the word Florida in a public service announcement as Florida once, if that dumbass can be successful there, anyone can. Gus will be fine. Is yeah, it time
Georgia,
to start
George O'Leary started and ended with winless seasons. That's
the circle of suck.
Is it time to start saying if Scott Frost could be successful there, anyone can?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
That's better. I like that better. Yeah, I like that better. Yep.
That really takes a lot of the fault away from
Nebraska. I mean, look, we talk about limited rosters all the time. Let's talk about limited staffs.
Fair. It's fair.
Because if that can work there, man, there's a lot of upside for Gus, is what I'm saying.
And that's our show, everybody.
No.
God damn it.
We have to cover...
Thank you to Panda Express for...
No.
Everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do have a sponsor to talk about tonight. They haven't given us any money, but we encountered in the wild here in Atlanta an 11-year-old who listens to the Shutdown Fullcast. First of all, to this young man's parents, what the hell? but secondly, this young hustler asked us to shout out his YouTube channel. And he did it very politely to a couple of adults who are not his parents, despite having been, you know, shut up in quarantine for most of the year. He's an 11-year-old boy who is somehow not only not feral, but had some pretty good gumption about, you know, hey, will you advertise my YouTube channel on your show? This channel is called the Atlanta Reapers. I've never looked at it. Spencer, pull it up.
Sure.
Yeah, let's see what we got here.
Yeah, so just in case you want to know the reach here.
Yeah.
We're going to double.
Are we going to double the audience of an 11-year-old's YouTube channel? Yes. Yes, we are, because you know what? He asked.
Does this make us liable criminally? Perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
But we also do have...
Oh, it's an esports team. Okay, he didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
He just said YouTube channel. It's also possible he said what an esports team was, and I did not understand it.
That's entirely possible. This also makes me want to ask, did anyone watch Quentin Flowers playing football this past week?
The fan-controlled football league?
Uh-huh.
I did not, but I just wanted to confirm that that's what that is.
Quentin Flowers of, was it LaTeX?
USF.
Yeah.
The Flowers Mac backfield that really should have been a video game dynasty. Jason, did you watch any of this?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. Y'all, it wasn't bad. I mean, it does kind of feel like wrestling done as football in the sense that the play call most of the time is go deep. It's like, go deep. Go deep. Yeah, we're going to make exciting things happen. Was Johnny Manziel out there looking like he was going to puke? After running twice in a row? Yeah. Yeah. Was it exciting? Yeah, Quentin Flowers was throwing bombs. I'd watched anything with Quentin Flowers playing football. So it was kind of like the best of both worlds. It was all the good things of arena football combined with all of the that guy parts of a game. Also, I'm not really sure it was real. They could have been making it all up. It felt surreal enough to me. And it's on Twitch. In case you want to know, like, what channel is it on? It's on Twitch.
Are they doing this again? Is this, what is this?
Yeah, no. They will have a full league schedule. And one of the teams was called the Zappers. In case you want to know what level
that's
we're
like
at.
That's like the most normal name you could have picked from them.
The Zappers? Yeah, no, that is the most normal one we have out of the
Beasts, the FCF. I guess, are pretty normal too.
Yeah, they're fairly normal. But yeah, we have the zappers, the beasts, other the, team names.
The Wild Aces and the Glacier Boys.
Okay,
where are they from?
Glacier Boys?
So that's the thing. All of the games are played in Duluth.
Which Duluth?
Georgia.
Okay. We don't got a whole lot of glaciers. Actually, I think I know what type of glaciers. There are two things I could see being compared to a glacier in a rap song recorded in Duluth, Georgia.
Sure. Yeah. So,
dealer's choice.
Yeah, they're all played at in the indoor arena over there.
All right, I found the YouTube channel. This is even more charming now that I know what it is. It is Atlanta Reapers Official.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, no.
Go ahead and counter against the bootleg.
This is now this is now the official YouTube channel of this program. Thank you, 11-year-old YouTuber who approached us in the wild. And to his parents, you know what? He had a lot of manners, so congratulations. You're doing well.
And for that, just in case, we'll also shout this out and say future sponsor, Fan Controlled Football, because I'm looking at these jerseys and I'm going to need a Glacier Boy shirt.
Yeah, that's sick. I want one.
Is it Glacier B-O-Y-Z? Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, man. You know, the name sucks, but Wild Aces has some, like, has those Miami Vice.
They do.
It's the Milwaukee Vice uniform that they selfishly never sent me.
The Zappers. That looks like some sort of, I don't know, caffeinated gum brand. That's what they're
I think it's
for.
Glacier Boys for the day, and then Wild Aces when you want to go from boardroom to club.
Yeah, and then Beast for the gym.
As we so often do on this program.
Mm. It sounds like this idea for a football league is the seed of a good idea, does it not?
Let's continue doing ads.
All right. I love ads.
Who doesn't?
Sure, we all do.
Acorns is an app you can put on your phone. Why would you do that? Because you can use it to save money and, what's more, invest money. You push a button, you tell it, when I spend $1.50, I want you to take 50 cents that are left over and put it in my Acorns account. And then what Acorns does is it runs and takes that to the investment market, and then the line goes up. So you understand? Acorns.com/fullcast. You get a little starter boost. Line start up, not at zero. Line start above zero. That's what we like.
You can't.
I am on pace for a six-figure retirement at age 83. Let's just put it that way.
That's robust. You know what, though? Those seeds and those trees, they don't necessarily have to be mighty oaks even. If you just need to plant a couple of nice prospect trees. I have the kids' early investment, and with just $25 recurring weekly, I'm looking at... one son's got $269 in the bank already. Another one's got $259. I guess because he's been gambling foolishly.
Yeah,
on fan-controlled football.
What is the disparity there? How'd that happen?
I don't know. But
you don't know?
If you told me one of them was money laundering, I would believe it. Especially because it's the younger boy who's apparently $10 down, and maybe he's just more of an insurance risk. Which again. If they came back to me and said he was, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe he
that
said
boy's,
all
that
the
boy's totally
investment,
won.
He set all the investment settings to aggressive, and the market just ain't hitting right now.
Just give it time. Just give it time.
He set his settings to rabid.
I have one son that's the US dollar. I have another son that's Bitcoin.
Giving it everything we've got, sir.
Next
more week, aggressive.
Next week, Bitcoin's account is worth $40,000 more than U.S. dollars.
I set my portfolio to ski mask. Apparently, that's risky.
I want to retire at age 13.
Dad, how did I get 5 stars? already on my investment account. Why is there a helicopter chasing me?
Your portfolio just says gat, 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 gat.
Son, line go up too high. Bring line back down.
Money printer go brap, 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 brap.
Son, turn brrr, machine off.
Yeah, this apparently is what accounts for the $10 disparity. One son being more likely to engage in GTA-style hijinks than another. Either way, though, even with that $10 in risk management, they are both well on their way to having a nice little sum at the age of 21 of around 25 grand each. So, hey,
don't let
money line
it.
Is indeed
going up. Don't let
them
have
up.
It, though, please. Please don't no, let them
I'm,
have
what
it.
Do you, for... What do you think you'll be able to buy in a decade and a half or so for $20,000?
What about
anything?
Some home field apparel?
That's probably about it.
Pivot!
One pair of pants.
One pair of doggers. That's what they're going to be going for in the open market, man. Home field apparel. Ryan, this is traditionally where you hop in. And you're like,
wow.
I actually know the home field read.
Are we singing in a round here?
All right. Home field apparel.
Home for your field.
You know the brand. You know the quality. You know the snuggliness.
You know the risks.
You know the risks. You knew the risk. You need me on that wall.
You
home
piece
field apparel.
Of shit.
.com. Yeah, what can we say that we haven't said before? Schools you love, a hell of a lot of them, and more coming. Schools you haven't heard of but sure should love? Yeah, man, like a shitload of them.
Houston Baptist, sure, man.
Yep, absolutely.
You're probably a school. You're
a lot of dunk,
sweatshirt.
A lot of dunking animals lately for basketball season. I know there's a Georgetown, like a ripped Georgetown Bulldog dunking a basketball. I believe the Alabama Elephant is dunking a basketball.
They got a surfing Zot.
They got the surfing Zot. That's a good one. To go with, to go up against the surfing Tulane Pelican.
I got to buy another piece of home field apparel.
Yeah, you do. Science demands it. Fortunately, Holly, the other pieces you buy will be just as comfortable as the pieces you already own. The designs will be just as interesting and pleasing and unusual as the ones you already own. The value will be just as exciting.
Just as eccentric.
That's right. And this is the nice thing. If you buy one piece of home field apparel clothing, like, you have one weird item. But as your collection grows, you have a weird wardrobe. You have a confusing and unusual, like, style. And that's really the goal, is to get to the point where you are going out in public wearing your dogger joggers. You are wearing, let's say your Houston Baptist t-shirt. And over it, you're going to have, what, a Vermont Catamounts sweatshirt? Does that sound good? Is that a good combo?
Yeah, and you change your name to Conference USA.
And you can be that. You can be that extremely confusing person at the dentist. When you go to homefieldapparel.com, use the offer code FULLCAST, 25% off your first order. You'll be glad you did it. You'll be just as impressive as the host you're listening to. I'm
way
realizing
more impressive
now.
Impressive than this ad read.
God damn it. Fuck. Why you got to do that now? Like,
no, not break. Your part, our part.
Oh, it's fine. I thought we're going to get through it. That's the important thing.
We got to be almost
that
done.
That assertion has, the notion that we're going to get through this has no basis in logic.
That's true. UCF, home field school. Home field magic got UCF. Gus Malzahn, really, when you think about it.
Hold that thought for a few weeks.
Okay.
Something really funny is going to happen.
Oh, no.
Do you think that, like, at the, so you know how, like, it's more of a thing in basketball, but football as well. Like, you know, you have the Adidas camps, the
yes.
Nike camps.
Do
you think,
I think
like,
coaches
Gus,
move to home field? Because
yeah,
it
like
went from
Gus
a home
was,
field school
Gus was
at Auburn.
At the home field camp.
Correct.
And he was talking to the home field boosters that he knows from Auburn.
Yeah.
They're Under Armour school. Shut up. They're home field school.
Right.
And the home field boosters are like, listen, we got you a place to live in Orlando. It costs $900 total. And Gus is like, uh-huh. And like, that's how he found the connection.
Yeah, I think so. I think like it was between UCF and Ooey Pooey. Like, I think those were the two that it was down to.
That's exactly how they say it, too. They're like, where do you go? I got it. Ooey Pooey.
Bye-bye.
Homefield Apparel.
Reach Ryan at Bud Elliott on
We're very similar.
People say that about you.
Yeah.
Lawyers?
Yeah.
Fathers. Floridians?
Floridians.
Both are lawyers.
Yeah.
Both legally responsible for everything that comes out of our mouths on this show, to be sure.
Both know a lot about Orlando Pandas Express.
Mm-hmm.
Bud probably doesn't go to Panda Express, I'm going to be honest.
I think Bud only knows the really, really good deals at Panda Express.
Sure.
Like, there's one meal that is accidentally $2 cheaper than it should be.
Yeah, if you order that on Thursday, they give you 8 egg rolls.
Because they got to move the egg rolls at that point.
They do. They become toxic on Friday.
I've got a pallet of them in my truck.
It's an inventory thing. They're under a settlement agreement with the EPA. They can only keep so many egg rolls on site before they got to move them.
I like that it's the EPA and not the FDA.
Here's the deal.
It's a Superfund thing. Because
what
happens
is
Superfund restaurant.
The egg rolls become sentient on Fridays. On Fridays, all the egg rolls band together and they form into like a egg roll Voltron, and you gotta destroy it by then.
Egg Rolltron.
So they're pretty cheap.
How did you know my high school nickname?
Oh God, he's forming.
See, I get all the egg rolls on a Thursday and I take them over to the EPA, and then I get a biofuel credit for them. It's great. I made $758,000 this year doing that.
Sheriff office has a cash for egg roll thing going on.
Yeah.
They do that on Saturdays. I stock up on Thursdays.
So you don't do crimes with egg rolls. You bring them in and get them.
You eat all that cabbage, it just gets into your brain. It's hostility. It's just the gas.
It's the Irish. It's the Irish thing, you know.
Yeah, makes you bloated, gassy, and irritable, and then you go out and rob a bank, so... I get the biofuel tax credits on one side, then I turn them in as weapons to the Volusia County Sheriff.
Makes perfect sense.
And that's how I'm a millionaire.
Jesus Christ. I take it back. It was a great ad read.
Hey,
phenomenal ad read.
We did it.
Well done, everybody. Promo code FULLCAST.
Oh, perfect.
You sure about that?
Did it.
No, I'm never sure.
It's all
Connor,
right.
We're going to need you to dial up that promo code. Because here it comes. Here comes the mother load.
Promo code Egg Roll Thursday.
Yeah, we could do that. We could just make up a promo code every week, and Connor has to be the first listener.
That's
or
right.
Or else.
That's
right.
What the fuck? Why is everybody trying to check out with this Egg Roll Thursday promo code?
It's not even Thursday.
Well, yeah, otherwise it wouldn't be a secret.
On Thursday, the promo code is just egg roll.
So we could just be code. Like, we could just be like free Akron shirt.
Yep.
Promo code is gassy ski mask. Gassy ski mask.
Did we have a game to play? Was that next on our agenda?
We have a game to conclude.
Yes, we do. And
that was like Fancy Bane. I liked that.
Yeah.
That was like Bane on the crown.
I'm real self-conscious about it, so thank you.
Okay.
Bane on the crown.
I was just kidding. I'm not self-conscious about anything.
do have a game. Holly?
Folks, last week I asked each of you to draft 3 sports. And I asked you to go home and weave onside kicks into each of these sports. Spencer, can you remind me what sports you selected?
I selected golf. I selected basketball. And Ryan, you selected darts, right?
Oh, we're doing great.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay,
yes, I can confirm that.
So
I know
Spencer
the three
did not
sports
do his homework.
No. I remember two of them.
that
you remember the names of two sports.
I have my solutions. I remember the assignment. I remember that the assignment existed.
Listen, I've heard of this podcast before.
We'll go on to Jason's. Jason's, which sport?
I have pro wrestling, field hockey, and football.
Thank you, Jason, for participating in the show, unlike some people. Ryan, what were your sports?
I have tennis, ice hockey, and darts.
I remember you saying that ice hockey and tennis were natural cousins.
Correct.
So I guess we have to give Spencer a little time since he didn't do the damn thing. Ryan, why don't we start with you?
Okay.
I have my two. I just don't remember what my
you had three. Oh my god. That means they're not done.
No, I have solutions for two of them. I just don't remember what the third one
that's
was.
That's so, the point. That's
somebody else try it. Somebody else try telling it to him.
I'm asking you what my third one was.
Because you didn't do it.
So, I don't remember what my third
all right,
one was.
Spencer,
that's not my fault.
Spencer, you're getting assigned a sport. What sport are we giving you, Spencer?
Thank you. Assign me one.
Equestrian.
Ooh.
Horse it up, big guy.
Okay, all right, I'm on it.
It's dressage, bitch.
Dressage. Yep. Okay, I'm good. Here we go. All right. Christ.
All right, so you want me to go first?
Why do you glare at me when I call you a shitty teammate on the show?
I'm ready.
Why do you glare at me?
Truth is difficult.
Yes, I want Ryan to go first.
Do you want me to give you my series for all three or just one?
Just go first one. We're going to go in rotating.
Okay, so I'm going to start with tennis. Tennis has, unlike football, tennis has preordained possession. You alternate who serves. So this is my version of the onside kick. When you are serving and it is game point, so 40 from 40 love all the way up to advantage on deuce, if you hit your opponent with your serve on the fly, it can't bounce. You have to peg them. You win that game and you get the next service game as well.
Oh, I like this a lot.
And then after that, it just goes back to the normal rotation of alternating who serves. But if you pull this off, you could conceivably serve three times in four games. If you hold serve all three times, that's basically the same thing as getting a break. But you can do this as much as you want. Now the downside, because the onside kick has to have like the risk element to it, is it's got to be on game point so that if you miss, and it's got to be on the server's game point, if you miss, you have just blown a chance to win that game, and therefore you might not even hold serve that game. Plus, you can't do it then two times in a row.
I like this for a couple reasons. First of all, anyone getting beamed in any sport starts from a certain baseline of humor. But second of all, this weaves in another component that we wished for on the show a couple of weeks ago, which is surprise combat.
Yes. Yes. This is the only way I could think of in tennis that you could have the surprise of the onside kick. Like, you don't have to declare it. You can just do it. And I believe, I don't know if this is true on a serve. I do know that it's true when the ball's just in play after the serve. If you hit your opponent, that shit counts. So this is already in the tennis rule book as best as I know. And so I'm not really adding anything wildly new. I'm just incentivizing, you know, hitting somebody in the abdomen with a 115 mile per hour serve.
Tennis is hard as hell, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fun.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Boys, thoughts?
Outstanding. No, this is brilliant. I have no critiques.
It's got beaning, so
yeah,
it's got to be good.
All right, Jason, let's go to your first sport. Which would you like to divulge first?
I'll start with pro wrestling. So thinking of the onside kick, if the basic idea of the tactic is replacing your opponent's offense opportunity with an opportunity of your own, then wrestling's options here are basically endless, which is, we need to confine it a little bit. We need to narrow down the options. Because, like, you know, you could do an ambush before the match starts, or you could, like, counter a finishing move. You know, like, it's, there's very little structure to what happens within a wrestling match. There's very little structure to fuck with. The other thing about the onside kick is that it's bullshit. it's a bullshit move. Like, that's the best thing about an onside kick. No one, you know, Walter Camp did not say, oh, and here's a tricky thing you could do. No, like, this is something some idiot stumbled upon and was like, holy shit, I can't believe that works within the rules. It's so stupid. It's like football's best innovations. The zone read. It was just someone dropped the ball and they were like, you know what? So the onside kick is a stupid hack that someone just stumbled upon by accident. And I mean, I don't, again, wrestling's options are just too vast there. I'm thinking of it in terms of like, all right, what is the most boring thing in football is a kickoff. So we got to work with what is the most boring thing in wrestling. The most boring thing in wrestling is a rest hold. And this also fits because it is a transition between, you know, I am doing offense, you are selling my offense. This is very tiring for both of us. Now we need a break. So we are going to snuggle for a minute and then we're going to break loose and you're going to do offense and it's your turn. We've traded possessions. And the rest hold is the just arbitrary, customary transition between those possessions, so to speak. So it's got to be something that fucks up a rest hold. And again, the options are limitless. And I mean, I right now, what I understand about wrestling is that this lady, Alexa Bliss, who weighs like 75 pounds and she's like a Disney goth Disney princess. She also has like Satan powers, like Satan superpowers or whatever. So like, cool. I'm going to knock you over and I'm going to put you in a rest hold, right? You are going to think that you are going to break out and do this to me, but no, I'm going to turn into a 75-pound Disney goth princess, and voila, onside kick has happened.
Okay.
I think that's a bold solution for a sport where, yeah, possession is not really definitive, and also I'm in favor of anything involving 75-pound goth princesses with Satan powers. So
sure.
Yeah.
I heard that about you.
Yeah, it's that has the theatricality that you need for this, so approve.
Jason brings up an interesting point in that wrestling is tricky in this because you're kind of hemmed in both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have option paralysis, but also you're also very limited. I like this. Speaking of stupid hacks, Spencer, what's your first sport?
So, speaking of stupid hacks, golf, the ultimate stupid hack. Golf's tricky because, like some of these options, there really isn't the notion of possession. There are only turns where you're playing against another player. Now, it doesn't have to be match play, right? You can't golf when there's three or four people involved in a tournament setting. It'd be impossible. But we're talking heads-up match play if you're playing against somebody. There's two possibilities here. One is chaotic. The other is actual chaos itself. So we'll start with stroke play, where you're going up against somebody. And the idea is that behind an onside kick is that you really want to take a possession, or a stroke in this case, from somebody. Both players tee off. After the second player has concluded teeing off, and I mean the minute the ball hits driver and takes flight off the tee, either player may race to hit the ball of the other as it lands. It's gotta land, okay? That's the only thing. You can catch it on the move, you can catch it when it's at rest, but you gotta hit the other one. The first
one. This sounds like polo.
It kind of is.
Without a horse.
Now, mind you, remember, neither player's really gonna want to do this.
Where does it say you can't bring a horse?
To a golf course?
That's up to
each
club.
You have to ride an alligator.
All right.
So either player may do this at any point, which is what makes it dramatic, because no one's going to be doing this every hole because nobody's that conditioned. So they may just take off, run, and hit the other player's ball. Upon hitting the other player's ball, that's yours. You can take that one. That is your ball to play. The other player, while you can't actually steal possession, you can make the other player take another shot, meaning they have to play your original ball that you hit, and they have to play a ball from that spot, and you get to choose for them by beating them to the ball which one they take. So you can't really take a possession, but you can definitely add at least one stroke to the other player's score while taking the better of two shots for yourself.
So What I like about this, Spencer, is that like most golf rules, you have made it.
It has insane bureaucracy.
Yes, you have made it insanely complicated. Because when you first started describing this rule, this is how what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say second drive leaves the tee. Both players can run to the other player's ball. And then I thought you said whoever I thought you were going to say whoever gets there first can hit the other player's ball the opposite direction. Like, they can fuck up the other player's position and knock them back if they get to the ball first. That would be
too simple
and too clean. So you decided to go with this insane multi-layered scheme. So, and that's golf.
Which sounds like a rule that has developed over time in
100%. It sounds like something like Scotsman arguing about 200 years ago. Yes.
Ryan said preordained, and that was very Calvinist. But then Spencer came in with Calvin Ball.
Now, I want you to consider...
No wonder you couldn't remember what your third sport was.
No, there's no more room.
I'm out of RAM.
Then there was the tournament variation of this.
Oh, God.
What have we created?
Which is where any player at any point may take this option.
Good.
Meaning you could sneak attack from the opposite hole, right? Somebody could be on the 4 and another person could be on the 12 and they could simply run across and take the shot immediately.
Usually you got to pay double for that.
Hey.
Okay. Back to Ryan.
Okay.
Second sport.
I'll do ice hockey next. So ice hockey is even trickier than tennis because possession is a thing, but it changes all the time. And so I like got away from that completely. And this is my version of the onside kick for hockey. I will argue that hockey kind of has the onside kick already in the form of pulling the goalie so that you have a man advantage.
But
this is similar to that, but a little different. At the end of any period, including the third, one team can extend the length of that period by 1 minute for every player that they're willing to take off the ice for the extra time, up to 3 minutes, and therefore three players off the ice. So if you get to the end of the third and you have lost 4-3, let's say, you can say, no, we're going to play two players down, add 2 minutes to the clock. And then you just play two more minutes of hockey. But you can do that in the first period as well. You can do it three times throughout the game if you want. Now, same thing as an onside kick. The advantage you get is if you are the losing team, you've literally extended the game, given yourself more scoring opportunity. The downside is you might, give up two more goals in this time. Or if you do it too early, you might take what's a close game and turn it into a blowout. But that is my solution for hockey, is to say, yes, you can basically add overtime, small overtimes to each period. You just have to sacrifice one position on the ice per minute of extra time that you're giving yourself.
All right, discuss.
Yeah, the accounting of this confuses me because I have a very small brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's
thank
full
you.
Of golf rules.
Yeah.
Okay. So
did
literally
you just
all
call
it
someone
is
someone else's rule unnecessarily complicated.
No. I said because I have a small brain. That's it's not that it's unnecessarily complicated. It's just I'm going to need a couple of reads through.
All right.
Okay. All it is at the end of a period, one team can say, "Hey, we would like 1 minute added to the clock, and to do that, we will play one player down for that 1 minute." They can say,
brilliant. Okay.
They can say, we want 2 minutes and we'll sit two players. They can say, we want 3 minutes and we'll sit three players. But that's the most. You can't do more than 3 minutes and three players.
Okay. No, I love this. This is brilliant. And also, it could lead to my favorite thing, which is the John Boycification of any game, where we could just have one player out there and all the time in the world. Yes.
Sure.
And then you could hear, I can just hear the soft focus features for the next year. Just this soft, we have all the time in the world. And just this lone skater. Time enough for life. Time enough for the years. That's all the words I know. I'm sorry.
That's good.
And then just Doc. Just the ghost of Doc Emmerich going, "Ah, the NHL on Freeform."
Anyway, Jason, second sport.
My next sport is field hockey, and I took this assignment to mean, like, if you were working within the established rules, how would you attempt to pull off something akin to an onside kick? I didn't really think about, like, adding a rule. So my approach is a little bit different. For field hockey, I would like to say field hockey is a well-liked sport for both men and women. It is played in many countries all around the world. In Asian countries like Pakistan and Republic of India, it is considered the national sport. That's in quote marks, according to Ministry of Tourism, Government of Pakistan. The game is... I don't know anything about field hockey, as you might be gathering. So I am going to say we will take Ryan's rule and we will add the word field in front of it.
Beautiful.
Does this work?
I'm happy to help. I think so. I don't see why it wouldn't.
There are... sometimes on natural grass or sand or water-based artificial turfs with a small, small hardball.
Yeah.
The stick is in the shape of a J. It's got fullbacks.
It has four periods of 15 minutes each, so yeah, you can do this.
Yeah.
How many rules in field hockey, by the way, surround use of the stick? Because that's the first place I'm going where I go, all right, so I'm in a field. Yeah, and it's a contact sport. Mm-hmm. And I'm holding the big old wampin' stick, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So where are we going with this? I'm like, what can't I do with this? Because you're going to have to prescribe that very precisely to me. Otherwise, it's just going to be wampin' time.
I think that's discouraged.
I think?
You know?
Why? So here on the field hockey page on the Simple English Wikipedia, there's really nothing that says you can't do that. So,
Is it one of those things where it's so painful and so bad that it's obvious that nobody would do it once you start playing field hockey?
Yeah, because the problem is everybody else also has the same stick.
Yeah, it's kind of like, hey, wouldn't you just use a nuke if you had one? It's not that simple, brother.
Wouldn't you just use a nick that could shatter someone's knee?
Those we can't really find out without playing field hockey ourselves.
Gonna have to try it out.
Yep. Springs are coming.
I vaguely remember that. I think like the main thing you're not allowed to do with the stick is like raise it above a certain height, like maybe not above
like
your
eye level
or
something.
Yeah. But I think that does mean like you can just like
nutshot. That's
all. I mean,
just nutshots for days.
I'm just gonna we'll just check. No, nutshot does not appear on the Wikipedia page, and therefore we have to assume. It's legal.
The founders intended for there to be net shots in field hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a strict constitution.
Oh, so in sync.
Yep.
There's nothing that says I can't impale you with this, so here we go.
Yeah. And when Justin Fields invented field hockey, like, he would have put it in here.
Yeah, yep.
Field hockey.
He's very tall, and that's how you know he was a founding father of the beautiful game of...
That's right.
Man, Ohio State would invent the beautiful game of nut shots, wouldn't they? Now that I'm thinking... Like, I'm making fun, but I'm kind of with you now.
Bro, yeah. It stimulates tea production.
Nut shots?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Testicles are traumatized, and they're like, bro, we got to work double overtime to get better.
That's right, yeah.
We got to get it out here. Get it out. We're under attack.
It's basically going anaerobic for your testicles. So
I think it's like we're about to suffer a breach. Get it out of here.
Yeah. It's like burpees for your balls. You just go for it.
Oh wow.
Redlining them. That's all I'm doing. I'm just redlining them. Yeah.
Just like your balls.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. Where you got to redline the nuts, dude. If you want the gains, that's what we're gonna do.
That's right.
Listen, redline the nuts if you want the gains. OH.
We don't call it getting swole for nothing.
Yeah, they didn't call him Limpy Hayes. He's Woody Hayes for a reason. Nut shots all day.
God damn.
That might be true.
Might actually be true, yeah.
I'm glad we did this already. Spencer, your second sport.
Spencer, your second and last sport.
Basketball. So basketball is also interesting because, like hockey, it's a game of constant turnovers. It's very hard to take a possession in a way that is not actually explicitly encouraged by the rules. And thus, I sort of had to think of a way to take away the fruit of a possession rather than the possession itself as a flow of a game, which is why we're going to have the magic minute. I'm adding the magic minute. This is creating a rule to encourage spoiling a possession for your opponent. The magic minute, which is at the end of, I guess in the pros it would be, in the NBA it would be at the end of every quarter. The last minute, you can shoot for 2 or 3 points at your own basket, or you can shoot at the basket of your opponent to take away 2 or 3 points. Whichever one is closest to you.
Yes.
The magic minute.
Now, do magic minutes exist in some other sport that we need to know about?
No. No, I'm pretty sure this is a novel. This is a novel and horrifying concept.
I think shooting on your own goal is really stupid because you don't want to be in a rebound situation. They can just tip it back in. And then
however you want to work the magic minute is the way you want to work it.
Look, it's magic, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, not to over-explain magic or anything, but yeah, I feel like both teams would just crowd at each other's basket, right?
That could be fun, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Who doesn't love watching? It's like bunch ball in soccer, right? It's like watching 5-year-old basketball.
Or maybe it's like breaking a press.
I would actually love to watch a bunch of pros play basketball like my nieces play basketball.
I just want to hit somebody hit a negative 3-pointer for a win. I want to see somebody turn around and drain a negative 3-pointer.
Now, does this have to be a team-wide decision, or can people be doing both?
I think it's up to the teams. I think they could be doing both, right?
Are we saying multi-ball?
No, I think what he's saying is...
I'm talking about in terms of personnel, right?
The way I understand it, Spencer, is you are inbounding the ball with 2 seconds left, so you're in the magic minute, right?
Right.
And you're down 2. You have a choice. You can either try to get the ball up the court to shoot a traditional 3-pointer and win by 1, or you can get it into the... Don't even go beyond half court. Try to shoot a 3-pointer against your own basket that you're normally defending and win by 1 that way by getting negative 3 points for the other team.
You could. Now, this creates several options, which are you just going to sit there and crowd all of your people at one side in order to prevent a magic minute situation, in which case I could just break the press and go down and get a layup, right? Or a 3-pointer, whatever one I needed. Or are you going to go for the 3-pointer at the close end, or are you going to go for 2?
So here's my question. I inbound the ball, and my teammate attempts a negative 3-pointer. And he misses, but he gets fouled.
Yeah.
Is he taking 3 free throws each for negative 1 point?
Oh, God, yes. Okay. Absolutely. Did you just create an even worse situation out of this terrible situation I created?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. That is exactly what just happened.
I will agree with Jason that this is going to make the end of basketball games interminable because now you will have to be watching.
That'll be a lot different.
Each rebound to see who tipped that one in. It's either +2. It's a 4-point swing depending on who tipped this ball in.
Yeah.
But
how much, honestly, how different is that from now?
How about we just say there's no reviews?
The call
is what it is.
Yeah, sure.
The magic minute is such bullshit.
What if we did that anyway?
Yeah.
How about we just get rid of refs? How about let's do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let the people decide.
In the magic minute, the ref is knocked out like it's a wrestling match.
Yep.
That's.
I meant just in toto, let's get rid of refs.
Yeah. Now, somebody mentioned multi-ball. The multi-ball magic minute is obviously the pinnacle of sports potential. But we'll get to that another time.
Okay.
That's overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the overtime. Just shooting. Mm-hmm. Just everybody turns into James Harden.
So we could put 10 basketball. Every overtime period, we add a basketball, right?
Yeah.
So if we make it to the ninth overtime period, every player on the field has a ball. Court has a ball.
Oh, I like this. I like this a lot.
I want to know which basketball player would be the Labrador Retriever who just tries to carry as many of them as at one time, right?
Sure, tries to carry? Butler. You already said James Harden.
Wow.
There we go. Wow. It's just James Harden like a lab with four basketballs in his mouth at the same time.
These are mine. These are my toys.
All right. Is it my third?
Yes.
Okay. Darts. Darts is tough.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of obvious ones. So I am going to go with a very dark overtime rule called the William Tell rule.
Oh, no.
I can't wait.
Ryan, what's this named after?
You can probably guess. The William Tell rule is it's very simple. You can skip your opponent's turn. I'm assuming we're playing 501 or 301 or one of the sort of typical dart games. And you can skip your opponent's turn if you have a loved one go stand in front of the dartboard with an apple on their head. And you
what about in their mouth?
No, I'm gonna say head because I really don't want to. That's like too far for me. Even.
How are we defining loved?
That's fair. That's fair. You have to bring a relative. Let's say that
that could give you a lot of room.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
How close of a relative? An immediate relative?
Let's say it's got to be a cousin or a nephew or cousin or closer. It's got to be like one branch of the family.
One rung.
Yeah.
Can I bring a historical figure I have retrieved with a time machine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Alexander Hamilton, come on down.
Yeah, so they stand in front of the dartboard with an apple on their head. You get one throw. If you hit the apple, you get to skip your opponent. Your opponent loses a turn. Good for you. And if you miss, you miss. And we just proceed as normal.
And Christmas cards get a little weird the next year.
You have fewer
families
Christmas
are complicated.
Cards.
That's true. Yeah. Fewer thank you notes too, for sure.
I know, dude, I'm throwing it right into my relative's face every time. There's absolutely no way I'm sitting there with a dart and thinking about, don't throw it in their head. No, I'm totally throwing his head. Oh God. It's just happening. I know it's happening. I can't fight it.
Here's the thing. I think the British might go for this rule. I think they might be like, yeah, sounds great.
Sounds fair. Then they'd hit and be like, pity. It's a shame.
Oi, he took it with a stiff upper lip.
No one took it like Brandon. Did you see it?
Look at that. Look at the resolve.
Barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Ted, do you play much darts? No, actually.
So I think each team of people in the United Kingdom, they're going to have like a designated cousin who's just really good at tanking darts.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be Neville, because, man, he can bleed.
Tommy! Tommy's skull can't be pierced.
He's got a thicker skin,
he's
literally.
He's got unusually dense eyes. You'd be surprised. It bounces right off.
I swear his flesh swallows fish hooks.
His flesh swallows fish hooks. And I don't feel so good myself.
The human pinned cushion.
Where'd me dart go?
I tell you, he's so brawny, they can't tattoo him with a harpoon.
You throw it in his mouth, he'll swallow it whole and thank you.
You ate me dart, you cunt.
It means something different over there.
You can only say it in some sort of a UK accent. Actually, I think that's the first time I've ever used that word. So I'm good.
No, we said this last week. It's okay if it's Scottish. It's different over there.
It just means buddy.
Your mother would say it. Yeah.
What did you say? Oh, it's just what you call your neighbor.
Yeah, it's like ma'am.
It's like officer.
Yeah, officer. Yeah, you can say it to a cop and they're fine with it. They'll hug you. That's British law.
British don't have. Okay, I guess they have some.
Oh God.
They have the laws that say women can't earn property.
No.
That's actually where all the cunt business comes from.
She can say it.
Oh, I can always say it.
So that's the William Tell rule. That's
Marsha Blackburn is a senator in my home state. I can always say it.
Yeah, that's my overtime. That's my onside kick rule for darts, and I'm sorry.
Ryan, I love it and you.
Thank you.
That's great.
All right, Jason, bring us home.
Soccer. So we need to institute a legal onside kick rule in soccer. And yet, literally all soccer kicks are already onside kicks, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Spencer. You're up.
I have, honestly, I'm happiest with the clear logic of my solution for how to work onside kicks into dressage. And that's this. Dressage is a scored event where you have to evaluate moves made by a horse with the rider, and a lot of them are on execution and control, and those are things that really aren't happening head to head with anybody. There's no possession, right? Except for one element, and that's possessing your horse.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
So my simple solution to how to work the onside kick into dressage is this. You go out there and steal that bastard's horse. You go do it.
Like Red Dead Redemption?
Yeah, part of dressage is going to be horse control. And you know what the ultimate form of horse control is? Keeping a hornswoggler from taking it from beneath your keister, buddy.
Hey, feller!
Dressage is generally people who are extraordinarily wealthy and bored, which is where this is going to be the funniest element, because it's going to work in literal horse thievery as an important part of dressage competition. Meaning, you can, like, somebody will be out there and be like, so I used to do this when I was at Eton, and then I went to Cambridge, and like, here comes me going like, fill your hands, you bastard, I'm taking your horse!
Wizzy Winkles.
Oh dear. I'm Nick Foles. Never told me this was part of it.
I'm Nick Foles and I'm taking your horse.
It's just me and Rex Ryan out there, right? Like Rex Ryan cheering me on, going, yeah, man, steal his fucking horse. It's beautiful. Love it. Let's go get a fucking snack and steal some fucking horses.
Rex Nick Ryan. Foles in an Appaloosing effort. Oh God! Woo! My fucking shoulder hurts so bad.
You know, if you pulled something on that, that's fine because you did it in a game-winning effort. Yeah, that's it. That's my dressage thing.
The horse.
See, you go out there. No, and no tools, no cheats, no tools. Nothing.
Tools.
What tools?
You might think you can hotwire the horse, but that's not allowed.
No, we're gonna do this, Spencer. You are allowed to take a duffel bag with any kind of implements you want to steal a horse. What tools do you think are required?
Carrots and sugar cubes.
You said tools.
Those are tools.
You said tools.
Those are implements. And a cricket bat for the rider. That's really all I need. Maybe a blackjack? I don't know.
Fuck.
Yeah, do I want that Karen Sisko telescoping baton? I mean, that's pretty badass, but I don't think it does the job any better than a cricket bat. Also, the irony of hitting some posh dressage rider with a cricket bat, that's too rich for me to resist. I'm going to have to do it.
This is less onside kick and more class warfare, but I'm not going to stop you.
No, who's complaining? Who's complaining?
Class warfare is pretty fashionable right about
now. Yeah, that seems a bit unfair, doesn't it?
That's not on.
Yeah, what do I need to steal a horse? A guillotine.
Wow.
Poor horse.
Horses love guillotines. Everyone
there are no
this.
Poor horses.
Shiny.
Yeah, all horses are rich in love.